You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Hebrews 8 verse 6. We're actually in a series at the moment in our church, and we started it last week looking at the new covenant. And I want to speak to us today and say marriage is a covenant. Marriage is more than just an agreement. It's more than a contract. You can have an agreement and a contract with EE. You can have a contract with British Gas, but it's different than a marriage. A marriage is a covenant. And the things that really make a covenant work, a few words that come to mind is the word commitment. You need a commitment to make a covenant work, to make a marriage work. Faithfulness. And so we like these words. We like these words. What I mean by that, commitment. We like it when someone is committed to us. How many know we like that? We really hate it when someone, when we find out that someone is unfaithful to us, or a friend, someone that we trusted, is not trustworthy. We like the words commitment. We like the words faithful. The only problem is that we like the word, but we don't like the work that produces those words. And what that means is, for you to be faithful and committed, you're going to have to work at it. It doesn't come natural to any of us. We all have to work at those things because we are naturally sinners, the Bible says. We naturally do wrong. There's nobody here that can say, you know what, I've never done anything wrong. Usually when we have done things wrong and people try to hold us to a higher accountability, sometimes we can say, well, I'm not perfect. And what we're confessing is, you know, there's something not right about me. There's something wrong about me. And so we've got to work at being faithful. Now, in our modern day and age that we live in right now, is that technology has moved in leaps and bounds, and technology has taught us something, that the greater level of technology, you can reduce the workload to produce the same thing. And so what that means is that most of us didn't walk here today. Most of us came either by a car or bus or public transport. And if we did walk here today, it would have taken a lot longer and it would have required a lot more work. But because of technology, you've reduced your workload, but you've produced the same thing. You're here. And so we have microwaves that can help with cooking. We have remote controls. We have cruise control, even within a car. I remember the first car that I ever had cruise control in, and I was on the motorway, and I didn't know how this thing worked. And so I'm pressing the button. You get to a certain speed, 65, 70 miles an hour. You press it, you can take your foot off the pedal, obviously you have to steer, but that's it. It will just continually stay at that pace. It's cruise control. There was a story about someone that bought one of these caravans, and it had cruise control in it. And so it's got a bed and a kitchen in the back of it. You're driving it. And so they pressed cruise control. And what they did is they got up from the seat, went to the back, and started to make, I don't know, a sandwich or a tea or a coffee. And obviously got into major difficulties, collision. Can I say to you today, not everything you can put on cruise control. If you want to get fit, you can't get up in the morning one day and say, you know what, I want a six pack again. Let me press my cruise control button. I don't have to work. Within 2 months, six pack will be there. How many know it's not going to happen? If you want an education, there is no cruise control button for education. You're not going to, yeah, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a profession. So I'm going to press a cruise control button in my brain. And now I don't have to work at it. I don't have to labor. No. To have godly children, there's no, how many know the parents, there's no cruise control. When you're changing their nappy, think, you know what, let me just press cruise control. I don't have to labor with you, work with you. You're going to come back at 18 and be a man of God, woman of God. And there is no cruise control for marriage. There is no button that you can just press on your husband, and without any work, he's just going to be this super sensitive guy. You come home, he's run a bath for you, petals are leading from the doorway to the bathroom, candles, music, and vice versa, there isn't. What there is the work of building a relationship, building what we call a covenant relationship, which is a deeper relationship. And the Bible says in Hebrews 8 verse 6, speaking about Jesus, it says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us today. I pray that our hearts would be open. Father, I desperately need your anointing, your help, Father, in communicating what your word has put about us and you. Father, without you, we can do nothing. I ask you this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Let me start with a scenario here. More than a few months ago, but some time ago, Michael came to me, this young man here, he came to me, and he said, Pastor, I want to get married to Melissa. And so I said, amen, that's a good thing, a man wants to get married. And Melissa's been in our church a while, and she's a good sister. She's showed herself faithful. She loves God. And so, yeah, you know, when you marry a good woman, you're going to go far. And so he said, okay, boss, I'm going to buy the ring. And then he bought the ring. He came to me and he said, you know, I've bought the ring now. I'm ready. I don't know how I'm going to do it and all of this. And so he's talking to me. You know, he smiles. He's there. And so, So what I said to him is, I said, Michael, okay, this is serious now. Do you love this woman? He told me, Pastor, I love her. I said, no, this ain't no joke, Michael, man. Do you love this woman? Seriously. Are you willing to spend the rest of your life with this woman and work at this marriage? Be committed to her. So, yeah, Pastor. Yeah. So I was like, okay, man. Praise God. Go for it. And so he gave me a text, you know, and so he did it, and he got engaged, and obviously she said yes. Obviously she's here today, amen. But how many know, if she had said no, he wouldn't be looking like this today. He wouldn't be smiling like this. I know he's always smiling, but he wouldn't be smiling like this. I want to think of a scenario. Imagine, not Miles and Melissa, but imagine another scenario, another couple, and a guy, he buys the ring, and he goes down, he takes the lady that he's been dating, he takes her out to a nice restaurant, he goes down on one knee, and he says, will you marry me? And as he pulls out this ring, this diamond ring, he spent thousands on it, and he gives it to her, and she kind of pauses, and she doesn't reply to him. And then she kind of says, no. She says, no. I have fun with you. I like you, but no, there's other things I want to do. Fair play to you. It's your free world. You got to choose who you want. But a few years go by, 2 or 3 years go by, things have moved on. He gets a call. As he picks up the call, it's from this girl. They've parted now. They've gone their separate ways. And as she's speaking to him, he's quite surprised. Hi, how you doing? What's going on? And so, you know, that general chit-chat, you're catching up. And then what happens is, she says, well, the reason I called you is that I saw this house that I really like, and I'm thinking about buying it, and I would like for you to pay the mortgage. Be like, excuse me? So I thought you said you'd want me to pay your mortgage. Yeah, that's what I said. None of us would expect that request to be granted. How many get an? How many know that? Can I get an amen? Am I up here alone? But can I say to you, that scenario is how we treat God. That scenario there that we could all see plain as day. No, that's ridiculous. How dare she ask for, make requests when she refused his proposal? If she rejected his proposal, why is she still making requests? That's what man does with God. We reject God's proposal, but we still make requests. See, in the Bible, the text that I read out, it says that Jesus, in so much as he is the mediator of a better covenant, Jesus, the Bible says, he brings covenant, and what God wants to do is, God wants to enter into covenant relationship with you and me. This is what he wants. If there's no covenant, then how can we make requests on him? The Bible actually says in Luke 13:27, but he will say, this is what Jesus will say on judgment day to some people, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. The Bible says on judgment day, there's going to be some people that God is going to say to them, I do not know you. I don't know you. Now, that is not talking about that God doesn't actually know their name or doesn't know that they exist. Because we know that God knows all things. When he says, I do not know you, what he's saying is, I don't have no relationship with you. Me and you are not in a covenant together. If you reject the covenant, how do you expect to make requests? The same scenario, let's pick out Michael and Melissa. Let's say, fast forward a few years, a few kids. Let's say that Michael's doing well in his job. Melissa sees the same house that we were talking about in the scenario. She's like, you know, we need a bigger house. We've got some kids now. I want that house. I'd really like for us to get that house. He's able to get the mortgage to buy that house. The same request is now seen legitimately. The same house, the same request in marriage, in covenant relationship, that request is normal. There's nothing wrong with that request. Outside of covenant relationship, we all said, why would this woman who rejected the proposal have the audacity to expect something when there is no relationship? See, at the end of the day, the husband goes home with the wife. At the end of the day, there's a different relationship with others than with your spouse. And people can be, oh, is that favoritism? Of course not, it's covenant. Is that not fair? It's covenant. See, what Jesus brings is covenant relationship. Jesus doesn't want religion with anybody. What is religion? Religion, and so, you know, maybe you've come to church, we have a lot of visitors on a wedding day, you've come to church today and you're like, yeah, but you're about religion. No. What we're about is relationship with God. What we're about is a covenant relationship with God. Religion is what man has invented to offer to God, but God keeps rejecting it and saying, that's not what I want. I don't want a religion with you. I want a relationship with you. The Bible says in the text is that Jesus comes to bring a more excellent ministry. He is the mediator of a better covenant and a better promise. What Jesus wants to give you is not religion, but something excellent. What Jesus wants to bring to you from God is not just coming to church and saying some dead prayers. And just becoming like, I don't know, whatever you would think religious is. Jesus, the Bible never says that. The Bible, nowhere does it say that Jesus wants to give you a religion. Jesus wants to give you this. What the Bible says, he wants to give you something more excellent. What he wants to give you is a better covenant, a better relationship with God, a better promise. This is what God wants. This is what Jesus brings. When we see people promise to one another a covenant relationship. So here is a man, here's a woman. I mean, no, that's what marriage is, one man, one woman. That's what marriage is. You have a man, and the man promises, we're going to be in covenant relationship. And the woman receives the promise, I agree. I promise myself to you, we're going to be in covenant relationship. When two people do that, we call it a proposal. They've proposed. They're not married yet, but they've proposed to one another. They're engaged. Can I say to you today, Jesus is God's proposal to mankind. This is what Jesus is. Not that God wants to come and kiss and hug you, but God always wants a covenant relationship with mankind. God doesn't want a shallow relationship with you. God doesn't want a dead religious relationship with you. See, people can come into a religious environment and pray and lift their hands and say certain things, but how many know their heart can be totally different? God doesn't want that. What God wants is passion. What God wants is commitment. He wants to be committed to you and you committed to him. What he wants is for you to be faithful to him, and he is faithful to you. And so what Jesus is God's proposal to mankind. And if you are a Christian, what it means is you've accepted the proposal. When Michael proposed to Melissa, Melissa accepted that. We're not married yet, but I accept the proposal for covenant relationship. And sometime in the future, we are going to be married. She accepted that. That is what it means to become a Christian. You've accepted God's proposal for a covenant relationship. That's what a Christian is. You're promised to somebody else. I mean, when you get engaged, you've got no business looking for a new girlfriend. Some of you are not sure about that. Well, if you don't know, now you know. So let's look about it with me and God. So Jesus is God's proposal. I've accepted Jesus. That means now I'm off limit to certain things. I'm promised to Jesus. That means the places I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. Because I've been promised to another. Someone who's engaged has to react a certain different way. They have to flex a different way. There's something different about you because you can't just be out there showing the signs that I'm free and available. You're not. You're promised to another. It's not just engagement. It actually goes, we could say that it's actually deeper than that, because yesterday when we went to the registry office with Michael and Melissa, and after they'd gone through all of the legal procedures, they were legally married in this country. They're legally married. That's it. It's bound. And so afterwards, I went up to Michael, when we went out by the stairways, they're taking pictures, and everyone's around them, and just waited for, you know, so just, hey, congratulations. I said, you've done it. That's it. It's done. Done deal. And he was like, well, it's not done yet. And I said, no, it is done. It's just not completed. Yesterday, they were legally married in this country. And what we've done today is we've celebrating and blessing the ceremony. This is what we're doing today. But how many know, after what was started yesterday, it's done deal. It's done deal. You can't come in here with something. Oh, no, Mel can be there. Maybe here. No. It's done deal. And so, it's done, but it's not completed. And so today we have the wedding ceremony. The whole thing is completed. Can I say to you today, this is very much like when we accept Jesus Christ. Is that 20 years ago I accepted Jesus. I accepted him. And legally, when I say legally, I mean in the spiritual realm, in God's eyes, I am a Christian. But how many know God has not completed his work with me? What I mean by that is I'm still far from perfect. And so some people think, oh, you're a Christian, so you must be perfect. No, no, no. I'm in a condition of transition. Just like yesterday, they legally got married. They were legally married. But there is a whole 24 hours. There's a process until the wedding ceremony. And every single person here, when you receive Christ, you become a Christian. You are saved. You're in covenant relationship with God. But the Bible says that there's coming a day when every single Christian will stand before God and there will be a wedding feast, the Bible describes it. There's going to be the celebration. This is when the Christian will become perfect. And so as we're here, if you're waiting for yourself to become perfect, it will never happen here on earth. The Bible said in Revelation 19 verse 9, and then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. The Bible says that for the Christian, when all time has run out, and time will run out, you can study any science, anything you want on this planet. You can debate. I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe. But there is nothing that will last forever. Time will run out. Before anybody ever knew about entropy, before anybody ever knew about laws of thermodynamics, the Bible said it's going to run out. And when time runs out, the Bible says that in heaven there is going to be a wedding feast. There's not going to be a wife and a husband there. What the Bible is talking about is the celebration of receiving the Christian. And everybody that has received Christ, there is going to be a celebration. Is that we're going to be united with Christ in the fullness. Let me close with this. Jesus came to bring us a better covenant, the Bible says, and a better promise. Imagine I get engaged to Frances many years ago and I have to go away. For whatever reason, maybe I have to go away for work or go away into the army or what, you can fill in the gaps, but I have to go away for months. And I say to Frances, listen, we're engaged now. I have to go away 6-7 months. I'll be back and then we'll have the wedding. But while I'm away, if you need anything at all, go to my father. He lives close. Ask him and he will help you. And so while I'm away, a storm hits her life. She goes for a storm. And as she's going through this storm, things happen in the house and one of the windows breaks. Some of the windows break in the house. And so what she does is she goes to my father and she tells my father, you know what, that storm that we had the other night, it broke some of the windows in the house. And so now my father goes and fixes those windows for her. The question I want to deposit within your mind, why is he helping her? Is it because she has earned it? Is it because she is good or clever? Is it anything to do with her IQ or her education or her finances? Why does my father help her? It's very simple. None of those things. The reason he would help her, because of the relationship she has with his son. She can go to the father because she accepted the proposal of the son. She has access to the father. A perfect stranger could come up and say, yeah, you know what, there was a storm. My windows broke. I don't know you. You know, it's reality. But she comes up and it has nothing to do with her own ability. It's all to do with the relationship. She accepted the proposal of the son. This is what the Bible says in John 14 verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but except through me. This is what Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. Have you accepted the proposal of the Son today? Have you accepted Jesus? Because access to the Father only comes through the Son. Access to God the Father only comes through God the Son. There is no other access. Jesus says very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means if you reject the Son, God will reject you. If you reject the Son, you'll be like, that's not fair. But hold up. Before you say that's not fair, in the beginning, you acknowledge that the woman that rejected the proposal had no right to make requests. When the preaching of Jesus is going forth, people reject. When people speak about what Jesus done for them, reject. People in our culture today even use his name as a swear word, Jesus Christ. They reject. In our culture, we don't want it in the schools. We don't want it in the workplace. We don't want to talk about Jesus. We don't care if he died for us. We don't care if he shed blood for us. We don't want it. We reject him. We want to do our own thing, our own way. That's the way we are. Well, you know what? You can choose to reject a proposal. But the Bible says that if you want relationship with the Father, many times people say, yeah, no, me and the Father are one. I have a relationship with the Father, the source. No. The Bible says, without the Son. John 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. You and I, we have the ability to receive Jesus. See, 20 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. Michael and Melissa gave their life to Jesus. Many people in this church have given their life to Jesus. We are not saying that we are better than anybody. Actually, we would say the opposite. What we would say is we're shocked that he loves us like this. You know, I've never, you know, when someone gets engaged, usually they act surprised. Oh, I didn't know. Come on, you knew. What do you think he was doing all this time, man? There's even some people that thought they was getting engaged. Hey, let's go out here. Oh, must be getting engaged at the end of the night. Or maybe he's going to do it when I get out of the car. Maybe he's going to do it when I get in the restaurant. Maybe he's going to do it when he takes me home. He didn't do it. Jesus is not going to let you down like that. God is proposing. He says, I want to save you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to bring you into a covenant relationship. I ask you, do any remedial study of scripture and you'll see that God always wants covenant relationship. Any surface study of the Bible, it's very clear. God is not into a shallow relationship. God is not a toy boy. God is not this guy just wants to hang about with you because you can give him some stuff. No, God is deep and committed to your well-being, to bless you, to bring you into a place where your life can have fulfillment and joy. But he will not force himself on you. He will not force himself into your life. He will not do that. The scenario I said, my wife could go to my father And the reason why my father would grant her request is that she's gone in my name. John 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is what it means to pray in Jesus' name. It doesn't mean like it's a stamp you put on a letter. Like, yeah, I just want a BMW M3 in Jesus' name. So he's got to give it to me. No. No. To pray in Jesus' name, what it means is that when I go to the Father, he sees that I've already accepted his Son's proposal. Me and the Son have a relationship. The Bible says that God so loved you. He so loved you. He so loved you. That he has made a way for every single one of us to know him and escape the consequences of our sin. To escape the consequences of our sin. We've all done wrong. That sin has separated us from God. That sin is breaking us down. Society, we see that it's breaking down. It's because of sin. People blowing people up. People looking at naked children. People raping people, murdering people. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that something's wrong. Something's wrong. That's sin. Because that's what sin does. Sin destroys. But God sent his Son and says, listen, I want to save you from the results of this. And Jesus came. He didn't come down just on one knee, open a box. No. He did better than that. He came down and stretched out his arms and died on the cross. I said, I'm going to take the penalty for your sin. He proposed to you today. Will you receive him or reject him? If you receive him just by believing, the Bible says you become a child of God. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.